Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast. Show us the money.
Kaya Biz.
On the street.
On the air.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Guguletu Mfupi. We are officially into the second hour of the show, and as you can imagine, it being a Thursday before a public holiday, the Easter weekend is ahead of us. It's the 17th of April today. There is a hive of activity. So I can imagine that many of you might be sitting in your cars, traveling back and forth, or even listening online, and actively just making sure that you're able to absorb the last bit of business information ahead of the weekend. Well, do bear in mind that there's lots of conversations that we'll be having with you in just a moment, and also refreshers of conversations around the spaces that we're likely going to occupy over the weekend. Now, for those of you who don't know, for the benefit of your understanding, our offices are actually on Jan Smuts Avenue, and right across the road there's a filling station that's often a hive of activity. Because there's a number of restaurants within the building, but more so within the shopping, the filling station, there's also a retail center which sees a high level of foot traffic. Sometimes we pop in to buy coffee, even here at the office, and sometimes people are there to have a meal and they sit for hours and hours. And even if you want to pop by to fill up your tank, you actually need to maneuver the space. And as I look across the road with my guest tonight, I think the view that we get to witness illustrates exactly what we typically see at shopping centers. Think about it. Just when it comes to the festive season, and even during long weekends like this time of the year, many of us flock towards shopping centers to buy the foods and the groceries that we need, the clothing that we'd like to acquire, the durable goods in the form of the TVs and the laptops and the furniture that we'd like to buy, and even just bopping by into stores to buy that cup of coffee. So tonight, we thought it best to speak to someone who plays within that space. He's a familiar guest and friend of Kaya Biz, as we've spoken to him many times before, not only on results, but many of the initiatives, just to give us a refresher of what it is that we see when it comes to South Africa's retail property space. Next time you go to Guguletu Square in Cape Town, Mall of Mthatha in the Eastern Cape, Ermelo, Mbombela, even Dobsonville Shopping Center, Randburg, Remsig, Hillfox, Durban Workshop, KwaMashu Mall, know that these are particular outlets that are owned and managed by Vukile Properties, a leading REIT in the South African property environment. We join now in conversation with our Pivot Point guest tonight.
Pivot Point
on Kaya Biz.
We're joined by Itumeleng Mutibedi, who joins us tonight, Managing Director of the Southern African Business Division of Vukile Properties. Such a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Good evening, Gugu. Such a great pleasure to be in the studio with you. And also not just talking results and just having a general talk about the sector. So
right?
Looking forward to it.
I'm really excited about this one. So firstly, thank you so much for coming into studio. I know that you could have been anywhere in the world, quite literally, on this long weekend. But we're appreciative of the fact that you came to join us tonight just to give us a lot more insight into the property space. Sure. And as I made reference to this particular example, in my mind, I can imagine when you look at shopping centers now, you don't look at them with the same eye as we do as consumers who just want to get in, park, quickly go into the various stores, catch up lunch, have a cup of coffee, and then make our way out again. Your view of retail property in South Africa must be so different. So when you do look at a shopping center, what is it that you see first?
Yeah, very interesting question. I normally head out to the mall with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever we are, anywhere around the world, you know, the mind is always working. So I look at stuff that's totally different.
I can imagine.
You know, I look at tenant mix. I look at merchandising. I look at category mix. I look at footfall. I assume what kind of the rent to sales would be, because that's what drives the growth in rental.
Yeah.
So the mind is always working, and also something as basic as lighting and tiling and shop fronts and barcodes. So so to me, shopping centers are really just a maze of, you know, how do we interact with consumers? How do we bring our communities to you know, to shop, to live? And also just to congregate. We're social beings, and in the South African context, you know, shopping centers are a place where we frequent not only to shop, but also to live.
Yeah. Yeah, I find this so refreshing, because my mind only started shifting once I started interacting with leaders like yourself within the property space, and largely within REITs and retail property in South Africa. And I think it's also important for us just to reflect on the evolution that we've also seen within this particular regard. you were appointed as managing director back in 2019, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So there's the benefit of, you know, witnessing that pivot pre-COVID and post-pandemic. Yeah. And I'm keen to understand what key insights or nuances you've witnessed that perhaps have stayed with you as a consequence and as the legacy of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously been a very challenging environment. I would say, you know, since I was appointed, we've had, you know, significant challenges at a macro level. You know, consumers been under extreme pressure. And prior to COVID, we had some retail challenges with some tenants going under difficulties. And yes. Then we had COVID. You know, we had government entities within our shopping centers going through challenges, challenge environments. We had, you know, challenges of riots, etc. Mm. So it's really been a challenging environment. But I think what I have learned is, you know, when we look at retail real estate, you know, one would say conventional wisdom would look at stuff like if the mall is shiny and glossy and it's well located, it should be performing well. And I think what this environment has proven is that that's not necessarily true.
Yes.
What is true is you need to have critical mass, you need to have nodal dominance,
yes.
You need to be located in a place where you've got, where you resonate with the community. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw with the riots, how a lot of our malls were protected.
Mm.
You need to make sure that you're not just this island of success in a sea of challenges and poverty, all right? So you need to engage and be part of the community.
Mm.
I think that's been interesting for me. You know, when you look at our portfolio, we've got 33 malls now in South Africa in 8 of the 9 provinces.
Sure.
We've segmented it, you know, 65% of it is in the rural and township space, and the
yes.
balance of the 35 is in the urban space. What's been interesting for me is when you look at the performance going into and particularly coming out of COVID is that the township and rural space has been really a strong performer.
Really?
It's been the quickest to rebound. It's got a very strong underpin. You know, I'd say that comes from the grants of the people that live in and around the areas. So that's been positive. But also, I think you've seen, because there's been a lack of new greenfield developments, a lot of demand from listed retailers to show growth in South Africa and in the space. So we've seen huge demand from retailers, huge support from communities, strong trade. And it's been interesting to watch that, you know, malls don't necessarily need to be glossy to be great performers,
mm-hmm.
right? They just need to be part of a community, well located, have the right tenant mix and offer service to the broader community. So that's been probably the biggest observation of mine.
This gets me excited because, as you mentioned, there's the community partnership, which we'll touch on in just a moment, because there's been a lot of investment you've made previously in terms of supporting entrepreneurs there. But I'm keen to talk tenant mix.
Yes.
And primarily because when we think of the locations that you're in, it also gives us a better understanding not only of the tenant mix, but the consumer demand and, of course, the increase in foot traffic that you'd like to have there. Help us contextualize this. Earlier I was telling my colleagues, any shopping center really in South Africa, it's one of the big food retailers, Woolies, ShopRite, Spar, the list can go on, and of course two of the big pharmaceutical players being Clicks as well as Dis-Chem. Help us just understand how, as a retail property player within the areas that you're in, that you, I guess, you know, find the right tenant mix to meet the customer demand and need.
Yeah. You know, so I've always said when you think about tenant mix, particularly in the context of where we operate, it shouldn't be a cookie cutter approach, right? So you can't push product down.
Uh-huh.
You need to do a lot of research. So one thing that we pride ourselves as Vukile is really around data-driven decision-making. So we do a lot of research. We go out into the communities. We do primary research. We've got partners that help us with secondary research.
Yeah.
And I think what we try to do is understand what the needs are in the communities. We found, so we track 14 different categories, you know, so this is from grocery to menswear,
yeah.
Women's wear to children's clothing, to pharmaceuticals, as you mentioned, to homeware. And out of these 14 categories, we then go out, find research, and find the optimum mix.
Mm-hmm.
In our space, the biggest percentage of our tenant mix is not necessarily in kind of the discretionary goods. You know, it's in the non-discretionary space where people have to shop.
Yes.
You know, so we have a big percentage of grocery anchors and grocery mm-hmm. shopping. We have a big percentage of what I would call essential clothing. And then we obviously have the pharmaceuticals. So I'd say that probably makes up about 50 to 60% of our tenant mix.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also try and find ways of saying, in the context in which we operate in, how do we incorporate communities?
Yes.
And then we always find ways of initially incubating them from, you know, small kiosks and then finding them stores within our shopping centers.
Definitely.
So that's how we approach Tenant Mix. It's, there's a lot of science to it.
Yeah.
You know, I always say retail management and property management has got an element of science and a bit of art. You kind of mix that all together and then you find the optimum tenant mix. But ultimately, mm-hmm. it goes back to you need to understand the consumer, right? So you can't rock up in a space and think that you know it all from sitting in Rosebank or Sandton.
Mm.
You need to have a sense of what the market is, do a lot of research, and then provide what the customer needs.
Got you. You need your boots on the ground and actually be part of the environment as well. Speaking of being part of the environment, we touched base last year in August to talk about your retail academy. And I was super excited about it. It was on our Ekasinomics feature. And it was really such a refreshing perspective on how Vukile Properties, from a South African point of view, is saying, yes, not only will we have the big retail players within our shopping centers and malls, but we're saying, Gugu, if you want to be come on board, you can come too, but this is how you need to fit within the ecosystem. Maybe talk to us again about the ethos and the purpose of the program, and so far, what kind of progress we've made since a year ago.
Yeah. Gugu, I mean, I think that speaks a lot to how we approach business, you know, our key values of partnership, of empowerment, inclusivity, and that's something that we really spend a lot of time on at Vukile. So we, you know, a couple of years ago, we've had three cohorts now, of, you know, what we call graduates into the retail academy, where we go out into communities and we try and find very entrepreneurial retailers that operate from their houses, that have you know, critical mass or support, that just haven't had the opportunity to operate in a formalized environment. So we you know, approach mentors, we take them through what does it mean to operate in a shopping center. So sometimes people think, you know, shopping centers are complicated. There's, you know, a lot of legal contracts that we need to sign, and, you know, how do we break
all
through?
All the acronyms, maybe. All the acronyms, the GLA and,
you know, all of that type of stuff. So we actually decode that and help them to understand, you know, this shopping center is all about providing a service, right? Yeah. So if you've got the right service and you've got the right clientele, you should thrive. So we take them through the process, educational, we give them a mentor, we understand their business, and then what we do, we get designers, you know, to form part of this process where we give them a small store. And then we get them to work with the designers to put their dream in reality, and we then fund the development of that store.
Whoa.
And then we give them a 12-month period to try and operate, and then we help them. We help them through things like, you know, it's important for you to track your turnover.
Yes.
Because the rental has to be a certain percentage of the turnover, and if the turnover is not growing, you won't be able to afford the rental. So we take them through the logic of how business actually works in the shopping center context. It's been very interesting to watch. You know, it's almost like a, you know, private equity, venture capital, angel investing type approach. So it's very difficult, you know, to get people to make that transition. But those that do, we've seen great successes. So, so in Soweto, for instance, we've got a wonderful service called Fagazindo, which is effectively a new age Postnet.
Oh.
Right, so it offers a similar service, but also prints clothes. You know, does very interesting, you know, I say souvenirs for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they've found, you know, a niche market in the Soweto context because they understand how eventing works in that area, and they provide that service and it's niche. And there's no big retailer that would have understood the nuances of that space more than that retailer. And you've now brought them on board. They're offering the service, they're trading well, their turnovers are growing, you've signed a long-term lease with them, and the community can see that you've got one of them in the mall, right? So I think it's a win-win for pretty much everyone. And this is something that we're looking to roll out. So we've got three permanent tenants now that have come out of the program. And we really want to roll this out to the rest of the provinces. Like I said, we've got malls and exposure in 8 of the 9 provinces.
Yeah.
And we're hopeful that, you know, as we do redevelopments and we expand our reach, we'll have a lot more people that we find and give opportunities to.
100%. I find that so exciting because it does speak to that level of camaraderie as well as development in the communities that is required and I guess necessary just to make sure that there is sustainability in your growth going forward. You mentioned operations in other provinces. let's focus on the Eastern Cape for a moment. You've been very busy, and of course, a partnership that you have with Flanagan and Gerard, if I'm not mistaken, with regard to the BT in Gibbs Mall. And that's essentially the mall of Mthatha. When we look at the history of that particular mall, of course, we know that Sisangebulana, a real stalwart as well within the property space, later once owned and actually developed this mall, and of course, now has since come under your ownership. I'm just keen to understand, you know, what that journey's like. I do understand that there are some nuances you can't disclose and certain industry conditions, but just the shift, acquisitions, and much like you've done with your operations in other provinces, making sure that you understand the consumer needs, what's different about the consumer who might be in Mthatha?
Yeah. Yeah, the Mthatha acquisition has, you know, has been fascinating for us. So we're currently busy with redevelopment. Mm-hmm. We are spending about 200 million into redeveloping that site. You know, this is the second, I think, site that we would have bought from the broader kind of CISA group, mm-hmm. You know, the Billion Group. We bought Ndanzana first, and this is now the second one. You know, I think very good rapport and kind of respect for, you know, the work that he's done in the Eastern Cape.
Yes.
And that's why when we renamed the center, we made sure that we call it Mall of Mthatha, but we still keep the legacy of saying Beating Gap City.
Gotcha.
So what we've done there is, you know, we saw opportunity to, you know, rationalize the tenant mix, introduce new retailers. So one of the key things that I think we have at Vukile is very strong relationships with retailers.
Mm.
So because we, you know, we have those relationships, we could, you know, give them a call, take them through our thinking around the region. And I think what was exciting for me about, you know, about Mthatha is it's got two levels of what I would say local government, right? So you've got the local government and the district government.
Got you.
So you've got that underpin and you've got significant amount of grants that are coming through. So there's spend in the city. And it also feeds so many rural areas in and around it. So we thought, you know, this is a winner. It requires just, you know, rationalizing the tenant mix. We bought it with 14% vacancies. We've dropped that down to about 2 now.
Whoa.
You know, we've introduced...
From 14% to 2%.
And we've introduced a new supermarket anchor. You know, we had a Pick and Pay and a Checkers. We've now introduced a ShopRite. We think that, you know, it's important for us to cater for the for all the LSMs,
mm-hmm.
this being, you know, the dominant mall in the region. So just like we did with, you know, Ndanzani, we think this is going to be a winner. It's going to show significant risk-adjusted returns for our shareholders. And, yeah, we're looking forward to seeing it thrive over the next couple of years.
Fantastic. If you've just joined us, it's about 21 minutes after 7 o'clock. We are in conversation with Itumeleng Mutibedi. He's the Managing Director of the Southern African Operations for Vukile Properties. If you don't know Vukile Properties by now, where have you been? We speak to them almost every 6 months on the back of their results and, of course, the strong foundation that they have in terms of investments in property in South Africa, and of course a portion of their portfolio also being listed abroad, largely in Eastern Europe. But tonight we're zoning into the South African operations because that's where we are, right? And understanding the local dynamics that really do speak to the places and the shopping centers where you and I might frequent and actually engage in our shopping. What intrigued me, Tumileng, about the conversation that we're having, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it because you're really giving us, you know, the insider's view as to what you do, how you do it, but also the intriguing eye with which you do it. And this takes me to an update that I saw on your LinkedIn page, that you actually sit as a member of the B20 Finance and Infrastructure Task Force. That's critical, especially given South Africa's presidency of the G20. And I'm keen for you just to reflect, you know, on, I guess, some of the themes that are being discussed under this particular stream of the task force, but also at the end of the day, we do want to see this being implemented on the ground from a South African and even African point of view. So contextualize it for us. A lot of us have been hearing G20, B20, and it seems so distant and far, as though it's these high-level conversations, but help us understand how they'll be of consequence to our livelihoods in future.
Yeah. You know, infrastructure in the South African context is effectively where the rubber hits the road, right?
Yeah.
You know, our biggest challenge in the built environment, and you know, you just mentioned that part of our business is offshore.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, you know, when you compare how we approach tenant mix, how we build malls, how we manage them, we're probably same footing with the rest of the world, right?
Yeah.
The only area where we lack significantly is issues of infrastructure. So mm-hmm. that's why I decided, you know, I need to get involved in this. How do we solve this long term?
Gotcha.
Because effectively what you find in the property environment is, you know, you'll pay rates and taxes and you're supposed to receive services, but then you still need to augment with solar and batteries.
Yes.
So that's double taxation. You still need to have, you know, tanks and water and pumps to make sure that your mall's operation, because the infrastructure is not flowing through.
Yeah.
But you're not getting a rebate on the costs. So that makes us uncompetitive when you look at, let's say, growth elsewhere.
Yes.
So the only way that we will get to compete is if we sort out our infrastructure issues.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking on that forum about, you know, how can we find a way of sorting this out at a national level? How do we get lessons and learnings from our peers across the globe, how they've done it? And it's fascinating to listen to all of those discussions. And I'm sure by the end of the year, when we do have the G20, In South Africa, we'll have a few solutions for us that we'll put forward.
Definitely. But also, we need to bear in mind that you also work with a lot of your peers and colleagues within the property industry, right? Whether it's the South African Council of Shopping Centres, SAPOA, the South African Property Owners Association. And I mention this because I've been privy to witnessing how, as peers, you continue to engage together. So the themes that you're discussing under B20 and this particular task force are not necessarily new to yourself and stakeholders. And maybe let's underscore this, because I think it takes us into the minds of executives like yourselves in South Africa who don't just problem solve for profit. You problem solve for shared value, for societal investment, for the advancement of the economy. And that's far-reaching, Dumile.
Yeah. 100%. We always said, my other hat is, how do we make, REITs competitive globally? And also I sit on support as the current president. So, so we talk a lot to government around, how can we make sure that we are partners in how we grow the built environment to benefit not only us, but broader society. So we do quite a bit of work around lobbying for policy to say, how do we build an environment where you have capital that comes in that doesn't only benefit the bricks and mortar that you'd construct, but starts an environment where we build new cities, new environments that benefit the broader South African populace.
100%.
So these are conversations that I think, sometimes people don't appreciate that across industry bodies. We don't not only talk about, what we own, what we've been entrusted with by our shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
We're also looking at it from a point of view to say, listen, this is a gateway to Africa, right? You got 60 million people that need to be serviced. We've got huge, huge potential in South Africa. How do we realize that? How do we maximize it using what we know best, which is bricks and mortar?
Yeah.
So that's what we talk about. That's what we engage about. I'm really passionate about that.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I am of the view that if we make the right calls, we can really drive sustainable growth, not only for ourselves, but for future generations.
I want to push you and perhaps get a little bit more personal now on this particular topic. But as you've explained, you've been in the industry for almost 2 decades. This is your half your life. And I'm just keen to understand what keeps you going, especially when it comes to the property sector and largely within the retail space as a leader, because it is tumultuous. You have highlighted that there've been opportunities that you can tap into, but also challenges that you have to solve for. But if you had to describe your job to your grandparents from the Free State years ago, how would you encapsulate it for them?
Yeah. Oh, what an interesting question. To me, in landing up in real estate, has always been, we operate in the capital markets. We invest, we get debt from our debt capital markets. We've got investors that invest in the stock, and all of that is, we run models and DCFs. We find value and we invest in the stock. Investing in a brick in an area where you change someone's life, especially from where we come from, right?
Yes.
For me, I think is such a tangible way of moving the country forward.
Mm-hmm.
So when we find sites, so we've got properties, and as you said, Kwamashu from Guletu.
Yes.
Built in those environments, you not only provide a service, but you also offer significant amounts of motivations to the youth. So you give people something to dream towards.
Mm-hmm.
You change people's lives. To me, that is something that, for me, gets me closer to what I think is a purpose type question, right?
Yeah.
So is how do we find a way of generating significant returns for shareholders.
Yeah.
But also looking after, I think, you know, communities and the people that have perhaps been left behind.
Yeah.
But with the right mindset, you know, we can really get on board and get them to be part of this economy that we're driving.
Speaking of communities, does the shopping center in Dobsonville hit you differently, given that that was home at some point in your life?
Yeah, I mean, it does. You know, so the Dobsonville Mall was the second mall built in a township in South Africa. It was built in 1994.
I had no idea.
The first one was built in Daveyton, which we also own, in 1993. So we've got legacy properties.
And let me just give us context here, right? Because, okay, I'm from Soweto, so the earliest reference I have is the stories about Maponya. I was born in the late 80s.
Yeah,
so, yes. And then, of course, Maponya Mall then became this big establishment that many of us are familiar with, and the many other shopping centers around Protea, Dobsonville, and many other parts, right? Even Barra Mall.
Yeah.
How contextualize, you know, how it all started then in terms of some of these malls? Because many of us would assume there would have been partnerships or conversations that might have taken place with retail leaders in those environments.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, so the history of Vukile's was a very interesting history, right? So it comes from, you know, a lot of property in South Africa in the late 80s, early 90s were owned by life businesses. Right, there were sanctions. You know, life businesses couldn't invest offshore.
Yes,
they needed to. That's why you go to every CBD, you'll find that there's a Sanlam Centrum or there's a Mutual Centrum. We had to invest locally, right? So this mall was developed by Sanlam in 1994. Vukile was spun off of Sanlam when we listed 20 years ago.
Yes,
so that's the connection and that's the history. When I joined the business in 2012. It's a while ago, 13 years ago. This was my first redevelopment that I did, where we expanded, you know, Dobsonville Mall.
Look at you going full circle.
Yeah, that's so to me, it was really, you know, a great development and also kind of personal. Because what we're trying to do, we were trying to expand the reach, you know, invite a lot more national retailers into Soweto, but also not lose the essence, right? So, for instance, here's an example on when we did the development. We had a small little pharmacy that was owned by a local with a pharmacy license at Dobsonville.
Okay.
But we also needed clicks because you need that service and you need the offering, but it was very difficult to have both of them in the same mall.
I can imagine. And then, you need antibiotics.
And then
you're
trying to manage this whole thing.
Got you.
But we found a way of saying, you know, you can have two licenses if they are on opposite sides of the mall. And the way that we do business is, okay, well, we need to have this offering for the community, but we also need to look after the people of Dobsonville.
Mm.
So we still have the two pharmacies today. So that's why, you know, to me, bricks and mortar is about, yes, generating the returns, getting the rental, getting the growth, but also, you know, looking after the communities in which you come from.
I find this so refreshing, and just how you've managed to, you know, traverse this particular journey. And this obviously takes me to a question I want to ask you around leadership, mentorship, and succession planning. I'm not trying to put you on the spot here regarding Vukile, but rather just the journey that you took to actually get to Vukile and the key players who were very influential in your growth. And perhaps if we could use that as a reference to how you view the need that's required now for us to develop future leaders in South Africa, especially just given the volatility that we're witnessing from a global level right down to our own politics with GNU.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, you know, I was fortunate when I started my career about 18 years ago, and it was by chance, right? So I had studied finance. I was in the corporate finance division of Old Mutual, and I was doing some work on taxes. And, you know, there was a gentleman called Ben Kodisang, who was a doyen of the property industry, who was launching a fund. And I was invited into that forum, spoke to him. He said, listen, I think you've got a bit of talent. You know, invited me to join his team. And that was 18 years ago. And it's so interesting how 18 years later, I found a way of working with him again. So to me, I think that is something that's crucial for leaders to consider, that, you know, you need to mentor, lift as you rise, as they say. And also position yourself to build something that will outlive you. You know, it's very interesting. A week ago, I met a lady that was the CIO of the Norwegian Sovereign Wealth Fund. And she said something very interesting to me. She said, you know, the genesis of the Sovereign Wealth Fund in Norway was they found some oil in the Norwegian Sea. And the leadership at that point in time said specifically the revenue that will come from this oil will not come into the fiscus. We'll put it into a wealth fund that will benefit future generations. All that we will benefit from as the fiscus is a percentage of the profits that that fund will make.
Sure.
And it was tasked with investing not in country, but globally. Because if you invest in country, then you have political challenges.
Yes.
Where people can use that for electoral victory.
Yes.
So to me, you know, hearing a story like that, you know, it just spoke to being selfless. Thinking ahead, you could have used that to benefit yourself. And there are pods of leaders that are like that in South Africa. And it's something that I really hope for the next generation is to have leaders that are up and coming that will think longer than, you know, their immediate term, their lifetime.
Yeah.
And I think once we get a critical mass of those types of leaders, we can change South Africa around.
100%.
Huge potential in this country. We just need to get a few, you know, fundamentals correct. And with that type of thinking, we can move forward.
100%. I completely agree with you. Prioritization of governance, understanding the bigger picture in terms of the societal impact. Itumeleng, I could speak to you for hours on end. I am thoroughly enjoying this, but I want us to wrap up the conversation where we started. We spoke about the consumer journey, the retail experience, the footfall within the retail spaces that you own, and of course the expectation of increased consumer behavior or shopping over the next few days during the long weekend. I want us to speak to, we never know who's listening. There might be a shopper who will go to Hillfox Shopping Center tomorrow, Phoenix Plaza, you know, Ermelo, as I mentioned earlier, or even in Dobsonville. And your message to them as a consumer who's contributing to the growth of your business, but also contributing to the growth of the economy. What do you want us to walk away with as consumers next time we walk into a shopping mall so that we think differently about these buildings, these structures, these stores, and even the experience that we're having? So it's not just a selfish experience, one that's just related to how much we spend from our pocket.
Yeah. I mean, the message that I'd send to shoppers that, you know, will frequent our malls is that, you know, we spend a lot of time trying to understand them. Right, being customer centric. So to me, when you walk inside of Vukile Mall, you should feel heard. You should feel that what you're seeing is something that you would have asked for, is something that the community would have asked for, and you should feel part of it. So to me, I would say look out for, you know, what you would have wanted in the offering. If you don't have it, I'm 10 digits away. So find my details somewhere in the net. You know, let's have a conversation. But you know, our mantra at Vukile is really we exist to serve as shoppers. You know, if the shopper does well, retailers do well. If retailers do well, Vukile does well. Vukile does well, our shareholders do well. The country does well. So we you know, the end user is the ultimate you know, shareholder. And stakeholder, and that is a shopper, and we do everything to make sure that they're happy.
100%. Thank you so much for your time this evening, sir. It's been so interesting probing your mind and getting to understand how you think and just your experience within the industry. So thank you again for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
That is the Managing Director of Vukile Properties for Southern Africa, also the President of SAPOA, South African Property Owners Association, and not forgetting also Chairman of the SA REIT Research Committee. So very critical role that he plays within South Africa's property industry. Itumeleng Mutibedi joining us this evening on Pivot Point. Share your thoughts, share your questions. Next time you go into these shopping centers, even Durban Workshop, yeah. Know who owns them. Understand the influence of the key leaders that we have within corporate South Africa that are shaping our experience as shoppers and also contributing to the economy. 0636880959 is where you can share your voice notes to.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.